Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is sort of a follow-up, or perhaps I should say follow-through from some things we've studied recently concerning the law, as we consider this morning. He, that is Jesus, came to fulfill the law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that the Lord Jesus came. He said he came down from heaven. And when he came here, you gave him a body in which he lived and moved upon this earth and then bore our sins upon the tree. Thank you for that. Help us to understand a little bit more about the significance of that as we study your word today. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the secular community, Christmas is all about glittering decorations, presents and commercialization, fantasy stories, and sentimental thoughts about being nice to one another. There's a fault with this, and it is that while Christmas is actually about Christ, in the secular world, Christ is pretty much left out. In the religious community, Christmas is focused on the nativity scene and the baby in the manger, but there's a fault with this also. The fault is that the baby image becomes an end in itself. People fail to go beyond the baby in the manger, using this image to suggest that the message of Christmas is merely that we ought to be nice to one another. The baby in the nativity images addresses only Christ's entrance into humanity. We're told in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But Christ's physical birth has a much greater implication than his just being with us. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 is really our text, but we'll be moving around a bit. We've been to Hebrews chapter 10 before, and that's why I say this is a follow-through of some things we studied before. But notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Why did God the Father prepare a body for his son? Did he prepare this body just to be a baby? Obviously not. Jesus says in the following verses twice, once in verse 7 and once in verse 9, I come to do thy will, O God. What was the will of God, the Father? In verse 10, by the which will, the will of God, the Father, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. God the Father prepared a body for his son so that his son could offer that body as a sacrifice. Now, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, let's look at how Jesus characterized this. He says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. There are two very important words in this text that we must understand. Not assume what they mean, but understand. The word destroy has an interesting history to it. Of course, we don't simply take the modern day definition of English words when we're studying the Bible. We have to look them up in Strong's Concordance. We have to follow the history of these words in ancient languages. What were they thinking when this was originally written? Well, it has an interesting history, this word destroy. It has to do with travelers on a journey, stopping and finding lodging. Now, it was a little different back then as it is today, although not entirely different. If you're traveling a long distance and you stop partway and get a motel, you usually get your luggage out of the trunk and take it with you into the motel. Well, they didn't have a trunk on the donkey that was carrying their luggage. They had to strap the luggage onto the animal, use ropes or leather straps or some way of tying this luggage and packages they were carrying on their pack animal. This word in the original Bible language, destroy, refers to untying those straps and dismantling the packaging of your luggage on the animal. So that when a traveler would stop for lodging while on a journey in the year 30 AD, when Jesus is saying these words, Matthew 5:17, I am not come to destroy the law, the image in the people's minds would be, he did not come to undo and dismantle the law. Now, how would you undo and dismantle the law? You would take each part of it and you would explain how it was wrong. Problem was, the law wasn't wrong. It was just misunderstood by the Israelites. The Israelites saw the law as a completed entity. Therefore, if they simply did everything the law said, they would be acceptable to God. However, the law was not a completed entity. How do we know that? Well, we studied there in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll talk about it a little bit more a little later, how the sacrifices of the Old Testament never finished the job, never made anyone perfect. Rather, the law was a device to point us to the person who would bring the law to its final conclusion. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to complete the law, to bring it to its final conclusion. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Good to see these words on the page. Don't take my word for it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. What does it say? Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end. He is the completer. It was like, well, how many of you have ever read a novel? An intriguing novel. You get involved with the characters of the story. And what would happen if you got to the end of the book and the last chapter wasn't there? What do you get in the last chapter? You get the conclusion. Well, the law didn't have its last chapter. Jesus Christ doing what he did was like writing the last chapter to the law. He is the end of the law. He completes it. He doesn't put it out of existence. He brings it to a conclusion. Now, here's another thing in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. And it dawned on me, we hardly ever talk about this. Because we're so fixated on the law, we kind of gloss over this other part where he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." How would you dismantle and undo the prophets? Well, I suppose you would have to explain how the prophets were wrong. But the prophets were not wrong. Just as Jesus came to be the conclusion of the law, Jesus came to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, to complete them. For example, you can either try to turn with me to all these passages of Scripture, or just listen as I read through them, but we're going to look at some Old Testament prophecies. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, I'm sure you're somewhat familiar with that passage of Scripture where it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." Now, was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Yes. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Was Jesus born of a virgin? Yes. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Did Jesus come out of Egypt? Yes. Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Did Jesus say that on the cross? Yes. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Did somebody say that to Jesus when he was on the cross? Yes. Same Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Did all these things happen when Jesus was on the cross? Yes. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Was Jesus wounded, bruised, and whipped, causing stripes on his body? Yes. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Was Jesus physically abused? Yes. Did he have very little to say? Yes. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Was Jesus imprisoned? That is, he was bound and carried away as a prisoner and confined. And was he strict? Did he bear all of our sin in his body on the cross? And we say yes to all of those things. And verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Did he die with two thieves, wicked men? Yes. Was he buried in a rich man's tomb? Yes. I have a list of 351 specific prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus actually fulfilled. I didn't think we'd have time to go through all 351, so I kind of cut the list down a little bit. What did Jesus do? He fulfilled the prophecies. He brought them to their conclusion. And the way that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies helps us to understand how he fulfilled the law, because the law served in effect as a prophetic picture of what the Christ would do when he came. And that's exactly what Jesus did. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, twice he said, I come to do thy will, O God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10 once again. We had looked at this in some detail earlier. And this is why we looked at it earlier, to lay the groundwork for what we're talking about today. But just for a little bit of review, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It was absolutely impossible for anyone to be made perfect by the sacrifices offered in the Old Testament law system. If that had happened, according to verse 2 here in Hebrews chapter 10, then would they not have ceased to be offered? They would have stopped. If it had completed the work, if it had finished the job, they would have stopped. They never stopped because the job was never done. In verse 3, the sacrifices of the law constantly reminded the people of the same sins over and over again. It says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to actually take away sins, according to verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And the Old Testament priests, according to verse 11 in the text, kept offering the same sacrifices over and over and over and over and over because the job was never finished. So Jesus says in verse 9 of the text, I came to do thy will, O God. John chapter 5 and verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing, Jesus said. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. God the Father, who spoke in a dynamic voice from the top of Mount Sinai and gave the law to the people of Israel and later wrote the law on tables of stones and then gave to Moses laws and commandments and statutes, including the statutes regarding the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, had in mind all along that the law was incomplete. And when it was the right time, he would send his son to write the last chapter. So in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, as we referenced earlier, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the, what was the word? Body of Jesus Christ once for all. The body that was laid in a manger when he was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The body that the wise men bowed down to in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. The body that John the Baptist baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. The body that Jesus used to touch many to heal them. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15, And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. The body that many touched to find healing in Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. As many as touched him were made whole. The body that John, the beloved disciple, leaned upon at the Last Supper in John chapter 13 and verse 23. The body they bound in the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 18 and verse 12. The body that the Roman soldiers abused in Matthew chapter 27, verses 29 through 31. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. This is the body in which Jesus bore all of our sins once for all and finished the intention of the law. Continuing in Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink, and they crucified him. Verse 39, And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And skipping over to John chapter 19 and verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "I just finished the last chapter of the law. It's done." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. With your mind's eye, look in the manger. And what do you see? You probably say, "I see a baby." I want you to see something else. I want you to see a body. Yes, innocent, pure, sinless. But the body that God the Father prepared for the Son to fulfill, to finish, to complete, to bring to a conclusion the sacrificial system of the law, so that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, we are told there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins because no more is needed. He finished the job. He paid the price for all of us once for all. Once for all people, once for all time. See the body that was prepared to suffer for you. That's the significance of what's in that manger. It gives you a different perspective. A baby is quaint, cuddly. But helpless. Jesus was anything but helpless. See the body God had prepared for him to suffer for you. And it'll give you a new appreciation for that nativity scene. It was the beginning of the final chapter in which Jesus would fulfill the law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the conclusion. The conclusion of salvation. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you that there needs to be no more chapters written. The book has been finished. The work has been accomplished. The conclusion has been provided. Lord God, if there's anyone at this moment who is struggling with assurance of their salvation, give them rest in this. Jesus finished the work. May we trust in that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.